We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's 12:18 here on a Monday afternoon. It is snowing across the metro. Pretty cold out there, so be careful if you are out on the roads. No keyword cash today. We're taking the holiday off. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Councilman Eric Bunch got here early, so we're going to bring him into the conversation that we have about the Missouri gas tax. And then coming up after 12:30, we'll talk about an effort to reduce traffic fatalities in the city. It came after a relatively high-profile cyclist was killed back after an incident on Christmas Eve. We'll get into all that coming up after 12:30. But as long as he's here, we'll talk about the gas tax proposal in Missouri once again. There is an effort underway to raise it. For those who don't know, Missouri has one of the lowest gas taxes in the country. We keep trying to raise that tax because we need money to fix roads, and Missouri voters keep rejecting that proposal. And here we are again. State Senator Doug Libla, a Republican out of Poplar Bluff, is proposing Senate Bill 539 that would raise the gasoline tax by 2 cents per gallon and raise the diesel fuel tax by 6 cents a gallon. We need money to fix the state's roads and bridges, and we don't have it. And we can't just plant money trees in the backyard, and Missouri voters will not pass it.
And it's not as though it's a mystery to anybody. All you have to do is drive a little.
Really? What are you trying to say? Somebody who moved here just from St. Louis, what are you trying to say?
Oh, listen, you know, all the way across, the roads are lousy. The bridges are falling apart. I mean, there are several that have been closed statewide over the last 20 years because they're not safe to drive on anymore. And it's not as though, I mean, those things were put up because people needed to get from place to place. It's not as though we can just keep shutting bridges down and say, you know what, we'll get around somehow.
Why won't it, Eric's here, why won't it pass?
I mean, I think that people look around and see that the quality has not been there. It's also just a difficult time out state to pass any sort of tax. If you look at the results in the last few years of every attempt that we've made to raise more money for highways across the state, the places where it's passed were Kansas City. This last time was Kansas City and St. Louis. So the cities are definitely willing to help contribute to that. And it's interesting because actually cities are net donors to the rest of the state when it comes to fuel tax.
Explain that's
the
case that, for everything.
So,
for those that don't get that.
So because of the way Missouri's highway system works, we have as a state have taken on all of what would be county roads in most places where they would be under maybe a local rural road district. And here we're paying for them. All those letter highways are not something that we would typically pay for in a statewide system. And so the cities are really contributing to the rest of the state. We're giving more money out to the state than we're getting back in return in the form of investment or maintenance and that sort of thing. So the expenditures are all going out state.
And we keep approving the gas tax here.
And we keep saying, yeah, we need it real bad. And so it's a real tricky situation that the places who are going to benefit the most are the ones out state who are less likely to actually vote in favor of the fuel tax increase.
And likely to benefit not only in terms of dollars spent, but likely to benefit in terms of the convenience, because a lot of the bridges I was talking about that have been shut down are not in Kansas City and St. Louis. They are in the middle of the state. So, I mean, it's not as though the balance of the problems necessarily exist only in the city.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, the challenges exist everywhere. We have the seventh largest highway system in the country.
Which I learned just now.
Yeah, we have a highway system of a city or of a state that's many, many times our size, yet we have one of the lowest fuel taxes in the country. So we get what we pay for. You take on a whole bunch of financial liabilities with a huge bloated highway system and promise to take care of them, but then we don't pay for it. We get really bad roads.
If I recall, the reason that the gas tax didn't pass last time, or the reason the people that we talked to said they didn't vote for it, was because if you could guarantee us that all that money is just going into roads and infrastructure, they would have approved it. But that they didn't like, I believe there was law enforcement money in it.
Yeah.
And they didn't want some of it going to law enforcement.
It was a bit of a shell game, and I think it was a big gamble. The money was the intent of the way that was written, that ballot initiative was written, was to say, all right, we're going to actually fully fund the highway patrol out of this tax. And then that was going to free up the money to actually pay for the rest. So it was just taking the sliver off the top. The highway patrol wasn't going to get any more money.
Maybe
a tiny bit of an increase, but they were going to be guaranteed that amount. But it was just a shell game. And that was a gamble. And I think that it was maybe worth the gamble, but obviously it didn't. In hindsight, it wasn't worth it. I don't know that it would have fared any better if they had have promised better roads or paved with gold. I don't know if it would have passed.
So the gas tax in Missouri hasn't gone up since 1996, since I was in high school. And
it's not indexed to inflation. That's another key point. Okay. It's not like a sales tax where a sales tax is a percentage of the dollar amount. We're talking about a number of cents attached to a gallon. The gallon of fuel has gone up, so it's not been indexed to inflation. And it also doesn't account for the fact that cost of maintenance is going up. I mean, over time, inflation happens. And so that's also problematic.
So as the price of gasoline goes up, the percentage that you would pay in tax actually goes down.
Yeah, and also cars, thankfully, are getting more and more fuel efficient. I mean, we're kind of losing some of those fuel efficiencies by going more towards large vehicles.
Driving
so we're
apartments.
Losing some of that. Yeah. But I think we have a serious fiscal cliff to consider down the road, that when electric vehicles become more ubiquitous, we're going to see almost very little funding coming through this mechanism. So we really have to think about how this goes in the future. And a 4,000-pound four-wheeled Tesla makes the same amount of damage to the roads, which is what we're talking about, not the externalities of climate change and that sort of thing, but it makes the same amount of damage to the road as a 4,000-pound Ford Explorer.
What are we going to do about that? I say we as a state. Will at some point we look at a new tax on people that drive the electric cars that don't pay gas taxes?
Yeah, I mean, and we need to be careful to not totally disincentivize electric vehicles. I don't think that purely electric vehicles are the solution for climate change, don't get me wrong, but I want to make sure that whatever solution we come up with is not going to be not detrimental to that, but also is aware of the damage that whatever type of fuel you use, that we're going to specifically accounting for the damage that it does.
Yeah, and I think this is important to point out too. And again, this guy's last name is Libla. He's a Republican out of Poplar Bluff. $100 million a year is what they expect, this 2% increase. 2% increase for you and me, 6% increase on diesel that he's looking at. He estimates that 45% of the tax would be paid by drivers who travel in Missouri but don't live here. And if you hate taxes, at least like a little bit more the taxes that are charged to people that don't live here. You know, sales taxes. Yeah. That's why people don't care so much if you raise sales taxes a bit, because at least that's being charged on everybody.
A lot of those people, though, and because the tax is higher on diesel than it is on gasoline, a lot of those people that he's talking about paying 45% of that are going to be over-the-road drivers, I would assume.
Yes, which probably is going to be met with some opposition from the trucking lobby. Just in the same way that we have really resisted any ideas of putting a toll on I-70. I-70 is one of the biggest costs to the state, that makes sense. I mean, it carries probably the most traffic across the state out of all of our interstate highways, and it needs constant repair. So I still am firmly in the camp of we need to be okay with some of the toll roads. And that's been, we've seen some opposition to that from our legislators, but I think it should be on the table. I think everything should be on the table, because it's another thing that should be on the table is the state considering to give back some of those state highways to the counties. That's an unpopular idea, especially in our rural communities, but I think it's something that needs to be considered.
It's funny, somebody just texted, I'm against the gas tax and prefer toll roads. I don't get why toll roads never get any traction here. Yeah, it's a really good point.
I think I don't have the data on this, but I would suspect that people are more supportive of toll roads, especially the people who are not going to use that toll road.
Right.
they're using someone else's money to pay for it, which, but I mean, I think it's a good, I'm farthest from a libertarian as you could possibly get. However, I think that there's a good case to say you're the one who's using this road, so let's actually attach a fee to it through the form of a toll. I think it's politically popular across the state. It's not politically popular. It's popular among the general public. I think it's less popular among the legislators because of the power of lobbyists.
Speaking of roads, we're going to take this back to Kansas City coming up after news. And a proposal dubbed Vision Zero that aims to reduce all traffic deaths in the city by 2030. We're going to get more into this debate and about the conflict that seems to exist, not just here, but in a lot of places, between bicyclists and pedestrians on one side and car drivers on the other side. So we'll talk more about that with Councilman Eric Bunch coming up. It's 12:28 now. Let's go to Sam Stevie in the KMBZ newsroom. It's 12:34 here on a Monday afternoon, joined in studio by Kansas City City Councilman Eric Bunch. As we talk about the debate in Kansas City about how to keep things safer for everyone, but particularly pedestrians and bicyclists, and it comes particularly after we had the death of a gentleman named Pablo Sanders Jr. that we're going to talk more about after being hit by a vehicle on Christmas Eve. Thanks a lot again for being here, Councilman, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah, this is great. And thanks for having me again. I enjoy coming on. So let me know when I can come on next.
And this is of particular interest to you, being behind this effort to reduce the number of traffic fatalities in Kansas City by 2030.
Yeah.
For those who don't know the name Pablo Sanders, can you tell us about him and about what happened back on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, Pablo was a friend to a lot of people. A well-known bicyclist in town. I think people, if they didn't know him, they recognized him. And if you saw a picture of him, you would probably know him if you were at all in Midtown ever. You could see him riding his bike. He biked past my house pretty frequently. So he was a pretty well-known person. He was involved in the 816 Collective, just a really likable person. And unfortunately, we lost him just a couple weeks ago.
Can you tell us more about what happened?
Yeah, I think the details are still a little vague, but as I understand it, and it makes a lot of sense that he was crossing on Valentine, crossing Southwest Trafficway, which is a pretty tricky intersection, and especially late at night. And the trickiest part about it is if it often doesn't detect bicyclists, so that signal, and as you know, Southwest Trafficway is a very busy street with high speed traffic, and at night it gets really fast because it's designed like a highway. And knowing that area, I live just a few blocks away and have crossed it before, it's difficult to cross it on a bike because that signal doesn't detect you. And so my guess is that per Missouri state law, you wait for a certain amount of time and you can cross even though the light's red. And I think that is, it sounds like that's probably what happened when he was hit. He was crossing the light against the red because the light doesn't change.
And that's not the only place in town where you have tricky intersections and difficult places for
not
people to get
all
around. You're going to run into the same thing over and over again, which is cars saying bicycles shouldn't be there and bicyclists saying we have a right to be wherever you are. How do you begin to get people to come together?
Yeah, I would say it's not the cars who say that. We sometimes, I think, anthropomorphize the car. But it's the driver. And I think something about being behind the wheel, I drove over here today, being behind the wheel gives us a lot of power. But it can be dangerous. And so I think when we're inside that shell, inside that steel cage, I think that we get sort of locked into this mentality that I have the right to move as quickly as possible, regardless of how it affects other people. And so I believe that I think the first and foremost thing that we need to do is I think that we need to all recognize that and the great power that comes with being behind the wheel. But through design and through interventions, like as simple as making sure that light changes for bicyclists, something as simple as that, to actually designing streets that people are more inclined to drive slow. The speed is what kills. And so the more we can design our streets to encourage that slower speed, that 20, 25 miles per hour, the safer we're all going to be. Then also in some cases, the bicycle traffic doesn't mix well. And so when we can't slow down that traffic, we need to separate the bicyclists through simple interventions to provide better, safer space for bicyclists on the street. But Vision Zero, the resolution that I'm working on, is about all traffic fatalities and serious injuries, not just about bikes and pedestrians. Bikes and pedestrians just have to be the most vulnerable because they don't have that protection of airbags and a steel cage. And so the focus often ends up being on the bicyclists and pedestrians. But we lose almost 100 people a year on KC most streets with pedestrians, bicyclists. But the largest number is our drivers and passengers of vehicles.
So the goal is to eliminate all traffic deaths by 2030.
And serious injuries, yeah.
Why'd you pick that year?
10 years from mm-hmm. now. And I think 10 years, it's going to take a lot of work. And even in countries like in countries like Norway, Oslo, Norway is famous for having actually accomplished Vision Zero. They started this, that Vision Zero came out of those Scandinavian countries and cities where they made this decision years ago to say, no, this is unacceptable. Traffic fatalities and serious injuries are not inevitable. They're not just the cost of doing business. We can prevent them through a systems change. And so we see years and years later, we see cities like Oslo, Norway completely eliminating traffic fatalities. That's a decision, that's a policy decision we can make today.
Oslo is also a place that has a tremendous amount of bike riders.
Yeah.
During the summertime.
By design. By design.
Exactly.
Even in the winter, actually. Too.
So where do you see that job starting here? What's the biggest problem area that needs to be addressed first?
It's bigger than just transportation. It's Oslo and, you know, Copenhagen and all many cities across Europe, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, lots of cities have really made this change, but it's not just about how we build our streets, it's also about how we build our cities. And so the it's going to be harder for people to get on the bus or walk or bike someplace when we have such decentralization of jobs. Population is really less dense than it used to be in the days when streetcars dominated our streets in Kansas City. So it actually takes land use policy. Like, how do we develop? Where do we put jobs? Where do we put housing to make sure that and that's really their success story, is they saw that they were starting to go in that same post-World War II development pattern as many of the United States cities. And we continued down that path, and other cities in Europe decided to not do that. And so we have a lot more work to do than those European cities.
And I have to tell you, the work that you're describing sounds like work that takes more than 10 years to accomplish.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. But we can, through an effort on just the traffic side, I think that we can get there. And we're seeing success in some cities in the United States, less success in other cities. But New York is really, really seeing the fruits of their labor, but they are still not doing as great as they could be. Los Angeles, there's always a political fight about how do we prioritize these investments in traffic safety. And so it gets sort of shifted around and watered down instead of focusing on where the data says, here's where you're going to get your biggest bang for your buck. That's the other key thing about the Vision Zero approach, is that it's data driven. It's looking at, here are high injury corridors, here's our high injury network. We're going to prioritize safety investments there first. And that's where you start to get the biggest bang for your buck.
It's interesting you put it that way, because whenever you talk about getting the biggest bang for your buck, people are naturally going to ask, okay, where are the bucks going to come from?
Sure. It doesn't require a new funding source. We already spend, voters passed an $800 million infrastructure bond a few years ago. $650 million of that is set aside for streets, sidewalks, and bridges. That is a significant amount of money that if we prioritized it for safety, which it's crazy that we don't ensure safety is the first and foremost thing that we invest in, but we don't. So it's about prioritizing, and it's about redirecting those scarce dollars. We also have a significant amount of money that we put towards resurfacing every year. I know with the potholes, it doesn't feel that way.
Yes.
But there's anytime we resurface a street, that's another opportunity to make the street safer, because there are things that we can do with just paint.
So coming up, we'll take a break here in a second. And coming up, I want to talk more about specifics, because it does seem like a lot of these changes are small. Small is not the right word. Just
they can be small, actually.
Speed bumps. Yeah. I mean, just what are
Absolutely.
These things that we can do that do not require a huge investment of money? And how does that, I want to make the connection for people between, if we spend this amount of money, we do this thing that doesn't take a huge investment, and here's how it results in fewer traffic deaths overall.
Yeah.
We'll make some of those connections for people. And if we have time, I do want to talk a little bit more about this fight, this conflict, and this attitude. I think you can make I like the effort to make things safer and for action. But we're talking about attitudes that I don't know how we're going to change. And if you have text, some of you are texting in questions, feel free to text those into 22980, and we will do our best to get to as many of those as we can. More with Councilman Eric Bunch next. It's 1243 here on KMBZ. It's 1249 here on a Monday on KMBZ, joined in studio with Councilman Eric Bunch of the Kansas City City Council. As we talk about this Vision Zero effort, the goal to reduce all traffic deaths, cut the number down to zero by 2030, all traffic deaths. And it comes as there's more debate right now about how to make the city safer, particularly for bicyclists and pedestrians, but then in turn for everyone. Thanks a lot for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We were talking more about specifics. I think people need to know exactly the things that are going to change about their roads that they drive and bicycle and walk on that you're talking about. What are the changes they're going to see, and how will that reduce? How will we get to the zero number that you're talking about?
Sure. I mean, it all depends. It's all within context what actually gets put down. But these are sometimes things as simple as speed humps or speed bumps in neighborhoods, raised crosswalks, things what we call bump outs, where you take the intersection at the sidewalk at the intersection, and you narrow it down. It makes people drive slower and at a safer speed. A statistic that I like to refer to is in reference to speed. A pedestrian or a person on a bicycle who's not, you know, someone who's not in the protective shell of a vehicle is more vulnerable to serious injury and fatality by a significant amount based on the speed. So a driver who hits a pedestrian at 40 miles an hour, that pedestrian is about 90% chance of fatality. Slow that driver down to 20 miles per hour, and that's about a 1 in 10 chance of fatality. Wow. So about 10%. So it's significant.
Wow.
So the best thing that we can do is reduce speeds, and we can do that without
that's
really
no money.
It's could be signs and in mixed with enforcement, but it's more about design. So things like at road diets we can do with simple paint, and we can find examples all over the metro, but certainly within my district, the 4th District of KCMO, where it's definitely doable to take a street down from 4 lanes to 3 lanes. You immediately make it safer, and you also often get operational benefits. So these aren't big, in many cases, not big dollar things. They're just things that we can do as we routinely maintain the streets, as we make minor improvements and add them on to other things. But I think at first and foremost, we've got to prioritize safety.
So let's talk a little bit about the fight and about the fact that
there
does seem to be a group of people. I won't say it's everybody, but a group of drivers and a group of bicyclists who are completely at loggerheads. And again, talk about getting people to sit down. We're getting messages in on the text line that say things like, get off the road, it's for cars. How do you get rid of that mentality, or how do you at least combat it?
I mean, someone who says get off the road's meant for cars gets it. And I hate to say that the aggression there is that's not what I'm endorsing. However, what I am saying is that person is acknowledging the fact that our streets are not safe for people outside of a car. And so we do need, on those streets like that, we do need to separate the bicyclists. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't have to take away a huge chunk of the road. People can still drive safely and drive down the street. But in the case of get off the road bicyclists, I don't totally disagree with that. And I disagree with the aggression behind that. But let's make a safe space for people to ride. And we have to design our streets for people of all ages and abilities, whether it's bike or pedestrian or even driving.
One of the other questions we're getting quite a bit, or I can hear the screaming in your voice, people, as you text this stuff in. Make bicyclists pay some kind of tax. Bicyclists use the roads just like cars do, and we're getting it a lot. Bicyclists use the roads just like cars do, but they don't have to pay the taxes and the fees that drivers have to. So,
but we
charge
do.
Them.
In almost any municipality, the streets are maintained through a variety of sales tax and property taxes. In KCMO, it's almost entirely sales tax. I pay just as much sales tax as a person driving, no matter what method I get to the grocery store. I'm paying the same amount of sales tax. I don't get a discount there. Very, very little of our money actually, and we just talked about the fuel tax before this segment and how it's not paying for maintenance across the state. the city gets almost no money out of the fuel tax. So, in fact, I'm doing, as a bicyclist, I use the bus, I walk, and I drive. But when I'm walking and biking, I'm doing far less damage to the streets. And so, I don't at all buy that argument that we're not paying our fair share. I think there's some calculations that would show that a person who bikes everywhere does in fact pay more than their fair share. And most people are also drivers, so we're paying the license fees, we're paying our insurance and everything like that as well, and we're often fueling up our gas tank. So
yeah, paying the gas taxes. Oh wait,
yeah.
Yeah, but the critical thing is that the fuel tax doesn't really do anything to maintain our local streets. It's all sales tax.
And of course, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on how old an area of town is as to what you're going to be able to do, because if it's set up like a grid, it's harder to get people to slow down than it is in subdivisions where the roads are all windy and turny, right? So how do you figure that part of it out and getting people to slow down? You mentioned the bump outs, but we're getting texts from people who say, look, I have to drive a semi on those streets, and I can't get around that stuff. How do you make it okay for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there definitely are tricky things with larger vehicles like semis and fire trucks, but there's design guidelines on how to work around that. And we also, as we develop more defined design guidelines, we need to bring those folks into the room and identify what are the truck routes that we should be identifying and setting aside. We're looking at also incorporating their suggestions into the design guidelines. So you know, we it's in our best interest as a city to make sure that fire trucks can go down the street safely. And that's something that as we move forward, we're going to go through. But design guidelines at the national level have been vetted for those things as well. But I hear you. I understand that concern.
What's the difference between the cities that have successfully accomplished a version of a Vision Zero plan and the cities that haven't? Because I know there are some that have successfully done it and others that haven't. What's the difference?
It's about making sure you stick to the plan. In Los Angeles, I think, is the case in point on that. You can create a great vision, you can create a great policy and a plan, and use data to prioritize investments. And at the end of the day, you've got to follow that plan if you want to accomplish the goal of eliminating traffic fatalities. And unfortunately, the way their system works, it's very easy to split money across the city council districts because they are, I believe, an all-in-district city council. We have the benefit of having a mix of in-district and at-large, and I think that really creates a system that's more collaborative across the city, and we see the city as one thing and not individual council districts. So I think that at the political level, it's about finding the courage to stick to the plan.
And to that end, sticking to the plan involves a cohesive vision. What's the response from the rest of the council?
In creating that cohesive vision, I think that there isn't... The fact that we have six co-sponsors from all corners of the city, it says that there is absolutely a support for this concept. The proof's going to be in the pudding. And when we actually get to the point where we're creating this plan, as to how parochial we want to be at the council level, at the council district level. But I'm optimistic because of the fact that we have so many co-sponsors that we're going to listen to the data and create a plan that accomplishes the goal.
What's next? What should we be looking for on the council?
On the Vision Zero, so the next step is that the mayor and the council or the committee chairs have decided that we're going to hold a joint committee between the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee with the Finance and Public Safety Committee, primarily because of the public safety component of this. Enforcement is one of the pillars of enforcement, it's critical to say enforcement without profiling. We do know that there's a bit of a history of overrepresentation of people of color in traffic citations in KCPD. So we need to make sure that the enforcement part is very, very careful to avoid that pitfall. But public safety is a key component to that. So we're looking at holding a joint committee probably in the next week or two. It has not been scheduled yet. And from there, presumably it would be passed out and on to the full council the following Thursday.
All right, we will definitely keep an eye on it. Councilman Eric Bunch, we really appreciate the time and for coming in studio
Thank
on
you.
A holiday.
Yeah.
We have learned a lot. Some of you are texting in questions. We can read some of your comments coming up after 1 o'clock if you've got opinions on some of what you just heard. 22980 or 576-7798. Councilman, enjoy the rest of your day. We appreciate
great.
It.
Thank you so much.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.